Through a Scottish Prism, the programme that is unapologetically pro-Scottish independence and anti-Westminster rule. Everything we say here is viewed through a Scottish prism. Brought to you by Barhead Boy.
And welcome back, folks, to Through a Scottish Prism. Great to have you again. Been a couple of weeks since I last spoke to you. So you know what that means? This is another couple of weeks nearer independence. I've been on my travels, folks. I've been a couple of weeks in Dubai. Of course, I was back for the march last week. And now I'm in Poland. So you're getting an international flavour and an international show. I've got a newbie on the show this week. I'm delighted. It's someone from my own constituency, in fact. Someone who I hadn't met before today, really. Lives in Nielsen. Is a policy, a research policy officer. Studied at the Open University, Heriot Watt University, Glasgow University. So you're getting some brains instead of just me this week, folks. And an ex-member of the Labour Party, Dr. Kaz here, who's now as fervent in independence as the rest of us. And so a big welcome to the show to you, Dr. Kaz. How are you?
Hello. I'm fine. Glad to be here today.
Good. Well, it's good to have a nice someone from Nielsen and maybe a bar head boy.
That's right, I'm just up the road from Barhead, that's right, out in the sticks, as they say.
Well, indeed, I mean, we must have passed each other. I mean, I've knocked your door at some time, put a leaflet through it at some time. I recently, I got married again in February this year, and we had a wee soiree in the old Traveller's Rest. Up there, Nielsen after it. How is Nielsen today? Is it good, bad, and different? Is it raining, pissing cold, what, as usual?
Well, it's glorious sunshine today. Oh. It's lovely and warm, and a great day for hanging your washing out, as we would say.
Well, I was there last week. Of course, it was a lovely day for the march. You were on the march last week. That was your first march?
That was my first march, all under one banner, and it was one of the best days of the year so far. What a great experience. And I was shouting at the front, what do we want? When do we want it? Mm-hmm. And everyone in chorus. So it was absolutely fabulous. A great experience, and I felt so proud. It was a great...
We have the best parties in the Yes Movement. The poor old the poor old unionists have nothing like that to compare.
Oh, I don't think... I think the unionists are... extremely patronising. I think what I've been reading in certain media, particularly the Scotsman newspaper, which, as we know, their newspaper is dwindling in sales. But you know, one of their headlines on social media, on Twitter, I noticed, was that the Conservative government were saying that independence is the last thing on their minds at the moment. And I put in and quoted the Scotsman and said, actually, independence is the first thing on the Tory party's mind.
Sure.
Don't believe the headlines, people, what you're reading, because it's simply not the case.
Well, I mean, apparently returning bottles to a bottle bank now is those dirty those separatists pushing their agenda. I mean, it's pathetic. I noticed there during the week, I watched, of course, First Minister's Questions, and Nicola nailed the wee colonel again, who said, yeah, you put out a leaflet with no policies. 15 times she mentioned independence, 12 times she mentioned Nicola Sturgeon, but no policies. And that just sort of sums up the unionists and the Tories in particular. They are one-trick ponies.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, as I'm sure you've been reading yourself as much as your listeners have, this obsession of the media of Ruth Davidson coming back from maternity leave, and how a couple of years ago she said that Westminster should not stand in the road of granting an independence referendum again, and now she's completely turned the table around and not given the Scottish public an explanation for her change of heart. So, I mean, if anyone is obsessed with independence, and we should never be fooled by these two-line headlines that we see posted on social media, which is designed to capture your attention, but you read no further. So the headlines are extremely important, and I'm sure the unionists are well crafty in how they craft their headlines, you know.
No, for sure they are. I mean, the last one's right-wingers hate democracy. They only like democracy when it works in their favour. I mean, I wrote in my blog this week, it was just true, they're going on about, well, we must honour the vote of the 17.5 million people who voted for Brexit. You know, that's the most important thing. But you say, well, what about the people that voted twice and gave the SNP a mandate for independence referendum? Well, no, we don't have to honour that. No, of course not. That's different. The only thing that we've got to honour is the votes of the English majority. And that's a fact. They just don't want... We've wanted to honour the 2014 referendum, and it's never to be asked again. Yeah, it's a joke. But they can't stop it. It's coming, and it's coming soon.
It's coming, yes. I mean, I think the polls, I think, read a couple of weeks over the past 2 weeks where the unionist own polls have showed a swing to independence of 49%. I might be wrong in that, but I think I'm quite...
Right.
I'm not far off the mark. They're saying it's at 49%. Mm-hmm. And, of course, a lot of that change, I would account, is for by the absolute debacle over the Brexit mess. Mm-hmm. And not forgetting that the unionists at the time, Project Fear, was, you know, vote against independence in order to remain in the EU, mm-hmm. and look what's happened, you know.
Yeah. Well, they're going to use their Brexit fiasco as a reason why we shouldn't go for independence.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. They'll say, well, look what happens when you go. The difference is, in my opinion, is that when the British went into the EU negotiations, they had no leverage. They had nothing that the European Union basically needed, nothing. Mm-hmm. That they couldn't. The difference is, when Scotland goes, we've got the oil, we've got the gas, we've got the food and whiskey exports, we've got the gin, you know, we've got fish stocks, we've got lots of leverage, and the biggest bit of leverage we've got is their boys' toys sitting at Faz Lane.
Yes.
And as soon as they start, well, we're not giving you this, they'll get, right, okay, here you've got 30 days to get your weapons of mass destruction out of Scottish waters, or we will bring in the international community and decommission them. We've got them by the short and curlies. The British going into the conversations with the European had nothing. They had nothing that the European Union wanted. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised in reality if they'd be happy to see the back of the British.
Yeah. I mean, it's beginning, I think more and more we start to see voices from the German Parliament. We're starting to see supporters in Spain, you know, politicians coming round to the idea that, you know, hey, wait a minute, actually independence might be a good thing when you think about what the English or British establishment's approach and attitude has been towards Scotland in these Brexit negotiations. And we are supposed to be part of an equal union. And of course, what we've seen through the Brexit negotiations is the complete opposite of that. Mm-hmm. And where Scotland's voice has been ignored, has been patronised. Nicola Sturgeon and the SNP is in particular have been putting forward proposals and alternative routes in order to get Brexit dealt with. And of course, all that process, all that procedure, they even took the Scottish, the SNP, stopped them in their tracks where they tried to get the High Court or the Supreme Court to rule against, I think, well, what was it?
The Continuity Bill.
The Continuity Bill, exactly. You know, so they were making up, and the UK establishment and the Tory party were making up laws on the hoof in order to stop these rightful processes and procedures that the Scottish the SNP were putting forward. You know, let's have another referendum on Brexit. Let's have a law that says we can't. What's the word I'm looking for? We can. We can have another referendum. on Brexit, and they tried to stop the legality of holding such a process. So I think that's kind of all this. It's just I'm absolutely sick, to be perfectly honest, you know. And I think the majority of British people are fed up with it as well. But at the end of the day, I think, as I predicted in 2014, I wrote a blog on LinkedIn where I discussed where we really should be looking our eyes is towards England and looking what is happening in England with this EU referendum. And I said, you know, Scottish people need to be looking south to that to actually figure out where Scotland might be in a few years' time. And I can't believe everything that I said has actually came true. You know, everything that I thought would happen has happened. So we've seen the rise of English right, far-right policies, far-right politics, and Brexit, a Brexit party emerging. And, of course, only this week, building on the reports in the media about the illegal money that might have been behind the campaign to take us out of the European Union. And then we have the Integrity Initiative. You know, we have all these secret dark money going on that's actually behind all these processes. And I think it's any good, truthful journalist and good investigative journalist like Carol Cadwaller of The Guardian has brought before setting out the fact that, that there was illegal money used. And of course, this week, what was the first leaflet I got through the door in terms of the European elections? It was from Nigel Farage's Brexit party.
Yeah, I think the
straight into the bin.
The thing about the UK, and if more and more people are getting to realise it, is that democracy is a mirage. There has never been there has never been real democracy in the United Kingdom. They let us vote every so often, but that it means nothing. I mean, was it 95% of seats don't ever change hands? And so we have a house, an unelected House of Lords, an unelected head of state. We have privy councillors. We have a civil service that, you know, are drawn from two schools and two universities virtually. It is not a democracy. It's not the mother of parliaments. It's the hoora parliaments, if you ask me. But we're in a position and where we're trying to get. We're trying to get self-determination for our nation. And a lot of our people, as has been shown over the last week in particular, but for the last few weeks or months, there's a lot of frustration building up in the Yes movement because they think it's a lot of people, it's not going quick enough. Now, I've been in this party. I first joined it in 1968. So for those of you, a lot of you that are getting upset, you know, where were you when we needed you? You know, this has been a long haul. But yes. I understand the tactic. I don't say I agree with it or the strategy. I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to woo the soft nose. People like myself and millions out there are committed. Nothing. We don't need it. But that's not what we need. It's that the people like yourself that have come over, which is one of the main reasons why you're on here, is to talk about how you moved from being a Labour Party knower to Yes. Now, that's the type of people that we need. You're the type of person that's got to be convinced. You know, we've had some high-profile ones like Simon Peel, Mike Daly, Kevin McKenna.
That's right.
They're the high-profile, but it's the ordinary Jock Tamson's Bairns that we need to convince, and I understand why the party is trying to go softly, where a lot of us want to just go for it. Now, I think the numbers are there already, but that's just my opinion. But What made you voted no in 2014? Is that right? You've got a twin sister as well, haven't you, Doc?
I do, yes.
And you both voted no.
We both voted no. In fact, all my family voted no, apart from my mother.
Right, good mum. I like your mum already. I've never met her.
So, she's a lovely lady.
I bet
and
she is.
We all voted no, and you know, one of the things for me is it's less about the Yes movement finding out why I voted no and what the Yes movement and the SNP and all under one banner need to find out and determine is why we are now Yes. So putting the past behind us, why we voted no at the time for various reasons, but that's today. That is not what counts now. What counts is why we now are voting yes. And that's down to a number of things in my own personal journey. Mm-hmm. A lot of it for me is the way, for example, you know, as a no voter, I was torn, and I know I've just said we don't want to find out why I voted no, but I'll just briefly say.
We do.
I was torn between, you know, the loyalty to the Labour Party. I'd also came through a serious illness, which made me as a single woman feel quite vulnerable, and I didn't want to see much change. I'd already been through a lot of uncertainty with employment and my health. So I think when the referendum campaign came, I was pulled in two different directions. You know, having a Scottish history degree and having studied the Wars of Independence, having studied, you know, the birth of the Labour movement, having studied Scottish government and the British state during the 20th century, and despite all that knowledge and all that grasp of our history, I still voted no. But one thing I can remember is when I did vote no, I remember walking home in tears from the polling station. And my twin sister also told me that the day she voted no, she vividly remembers getting home and crying her eyes out and feeling that she had betrayed Scotland. So in a way, I think, and I remember the day where the vow was published on the front page of the Daily Record. I was walking down Govan Road in Govan, where I lived, and I went into the Cafe 13, which is a lovely wee cafe, and I picked up the Daily Record. I sat down, and there it was, the vow, all over the front pages. Now, at that time, I was a big fan of Gordon Brown. Now, you know, to me, I preferred Brown to Blair. I always felt that with the economy, I know people have got their objections to what Mr. Brown did with our gold and my reserves and all that kind of thing. But I was a fan of Gordon Brown. My gran was a fan of Gordon Brown. My gran was a fan of Dennis Canavan. We've been Labour in our family all our lives. So it was that backdrop that, and you know, the powerful tone of the Project Fear campaign, the uncertainty that they put on to people thinking about their mortgages, their pensions, you know, if you had a period of ill health. And it's funny because a lot of people that I know that weren't in good health actually did vote no as well. So when it came to look at the no voters, a lot of the reports were true. Certain when they did the analyses, a lot of the voters who were women that voted no, and people with poor health. It was all that uncertainty combined with a very successful Project Fear campaign, combined with the vow, combined with if you vote yes, you won't be a member of the EU, there's no guarantee. So that was all there for me. But I switched in 2016 and I started paying more attention to what the Yes campaign were saying, and I started paying attention to the SNP more, and then I started looking a bit more in depth at how the Labour Party was voting in terms of welfare policy, in terms of social security, all these big issues. And I started thinking, you know, wait a minute here. This is, Scotland is completely different. And, you know, I started looking more deeply and taking things a lot more serious and not believing everything that we were being told, and started to really probe things a bit more. And to heck, you know, I wish I had done that in 2014, but we are where we are.
For sure.
And as I said, it was around 2016 that I started to really come across the other side. And as you'll probably go on to ask me, there were other personal reasons that got me to vote no. And eventually, if a referendum was to happen tomorrow, I'll be right at the front voting yes.
I don't have your... I have the polar opposite view of Brown. Never liked the man, never will, and I think he let us down. The vow, I mean, there's another one. He's Murray Foote's now jumped ship as well and joined the Yes movement. A particular bugbear of mine is he's never done a mea culpa, because I think the vow had a huge effect on people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all proved to be a lie, as you've picked up on, you worked out for yourself. Which brings me on, you know, people say, oh, we have to convince, we have to have all these arguments, we've got to convince people. You can't convince, no one could convince you, no one convinced anyone. People convince themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what's got to happen. We've got to lay out the information, but we can't, you know, I was in sales and marketing all my life. You can't sell, contrary to what people believe, you really can't sell people something they don't want. You have to make them think they want it. And so you've got to lay out the information in front of people. It's like if you were to give up smoking, which I did years ago, people saying, oh, smoking's bad for your health, Roddy. Going, well, yeah, I know that. I'm not entirely stupid. Well, it can shorten your life, give you heart disease. Yeah, I know that. I know that too, and I know that. People telling you all those things makes no difference when you, or if it's alcohol or drugs or whatever it is, when you have that moment, you go, no, I don't want to do this anymore. This isn't for me. I'm changing my mind and I'm not going to be a smoker anymore. I'm not going to be a drinker anymore. I'm not going to be a drug addict anymore. It's once you've made your mind up, nothing will change. So, but yes, you've got to have all the places there for people to get the information. But we can't convince people. They've got to convince themselves, which you've done. And your sister, is she now convinced as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Julie, she and I were talking about this just the night before the All Under One Banner March in Glasgow mm-hmm. last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And she was recoiling her feelings when she voted no, and that night she went home and cried. Her partner voted yes. All the wider family, so all my cousins, aunties and uncles, they all voted yes.
Mm.
You know? So, but Julie is definitely behind the campaign now, and she says, you know, we better get another chance. We need to have another chance at this.
Mm.
She says, we had our